Rewinding Kaya FM on FM Rewind.
Sidebar with Cindy.
On Kaya FM 95.9.
Kaya FM 95.9, home of the Afropolitan. Welcome to the last episode of our Talking Divorce series. And tonight we look at life after divorce.
Medical issues, sex and family,
finance, parenting and emotional development.
Sidebar with Cindy. Every Monday to Thursday, 7 to 8 p.m. on Kaya FM 95.9.
Kaya FM 95.9, home of the Afropolitan. Welcome to Sidebar with Cindy, with me, Dr. Cindy Sewefansel. And this evening, we're speaking about life after divorce as part of the last episode of our Talking Divorce series. If you've missed any of the previous shows, you can catch them on FM Rewind on kayafm.co.za. And if you're listening to us and you're not in Gauteng, you can listen to us on the channel 861 on DSTV's audio bouquet. So, you know, marriage ends. You know, you have to adjust to being single again. But there is life after divorce, and there's hope for happiness as a single person, and also the person that's going to get into another relationship, hopefully. So this evening I'm chatting to Thabang Mdlaka. He's our clinical psychologist, and he's joined us for the last 4 weeks of July on this series. But we also have two guests in studio. I'll be chatting to Nomvula Mbebeza. She's a divorcee and a mother of two. And we'll also be chatting to Lemuhang Ngwako. He's divorced and he's a father of one. So we're looking forward to your calls on 086-000-959. You can SMS us on 36959. And the hashtags on social media are Sidebar Cindy and Kaya FM Talk. So before we take your calls, I'd like to welcome our guests to studio.
Thank you so much, Dr. Cindy.
Thank you, Doctor.
Good evening. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. Good to have you back, Thabang, and welcome to you too. So over the last 4 weeks, Thabang, we focused on, I think our first series was about, you know, are you contemplating divorce? And if yes, why? Then we spoke about divorce and finances. We spoke about divorce and children last week. And we're ending off the series with life after divorce. And I think I'm happy we're ending off on a high note, because people need to know that, yes, there's trials and tribulations as you go through a divorce, as a marriage ends. But there's hope. There's life after divorce. So if you've been through a divorce before, you know, how are you coping? How's your life after divorce? And are things looking up? So I'll start off with you, Nomvula. When did you get divorced?
So actually, it's not really finalized.
Okay.
We're going next month for the hopefully finalization. It has been hard. But what I can say is I'm happy. This was a hardest decision I have to make, but I did it. We have two kids. It's affecting the kids, obviously. But I had to think about myself first.
Yes.
I can't be raising kids in an unhealthy environment.
Yeah.
So I decided, no, let's just end things. Kids will grow up and they will understand. As much as it's hurting for them, and it was hurting for me, but I just had to do it. I'm glad I did, because now my kids have a happy mom. I'm really happy, and they can see I'm happy.
Yes.
That's what matters for me.
And happy moms means happy children.
Kids.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So it's going to be difficult for them as time goes, but I'm hoping one day their dad will play his role as well, because he's not currently. They need their father. I'm not going to deny him that. They need him. Right now they might not, because I'm there all the time, but
yeah,
they are going to need him. I just hope that one day he's just
he'll come back.
Yeah, he'll come back. You know, be a father to his kids.
And how old are your children?
Oluetu is nine, he's turning nine, and then Lutando is turning five.
Okay.
So, yeah, they're still very young. The younger one, Lutando, doesn't know anything about his dad, because he was two when we separated. So he doesn't have an idea what a dad is. Mm. So, which is what makes it very sad that he doesn't know what's a dad. For him, any male figure is a dad.
Mm.
So that's so sad for him. But I teach my kids to pray for him, that one day he comes back to their life.
Okay.
Yeah.
And in terms of sharing the fact that you're going to divorce with your family, who took it the hardest in your family?
I think my younger sister, because she saw me broken. Okay. Yeah. But fortunately, she was there for me. She was there for my kids. She helped us. And for me, I think also I was surrounded with good friends. I am surrounded with good friends, friends that pray for me, friends that told me that you need to forgive yourself first.
Yes.
Then once you forgive yourself, you'll be able to heal. And it was easy, you know, when you do it, it becomes very easy. So I forgave myself and I asked God to, whatever that I've done wrong in my marriage, you know, let me be a better person. Let me fix what I have done wrong. Let me not focus on what he has done. Focus on myself, because I also did contribute to the failure of the marriage. It might not be as much as I will say he has, but I might have, you know, I might not know. But if he says you didn't do this, then it will point that I was not maybe perfect. I mean, I'm not perfect.
No one is.
Yes. But yeah, being surrounded with friends that helps you to pray, that prays for you and prays with you,
that are there. System.
Yes, when you cry, they are there, and they will tell you, no, don't cry in front of the kids. Come to us. Come cry to us. You know, we will comfort you. Friends that will come, let me take the kids out, then you can have your own me time.
And the whole process, Nomvula, you know, obviously you had to find a lawyer and all of that stuff. How did you prepare yourself for that?
So it was stressing, because initially I have these one of the bank's attorneys,
yes,
but they couldn't because it's a contested divorce. So I had to look for an attorney. Attorneys are very expensive. But I had to look for someone who's very reasonable in terms of the prices, because there are no millions in the marriage. So I don't want to benefit anything. I just want things to be over. So it became very strenuous in terms of finances, because now we have a house and he moved out. So everything is on me. The burden is on me. You know, at some point I had to pray and be specific and say, God, I need a job. I need a new job so that I can afford this. I can afford the house. I can afford the car. I can afford the kids. So it was strenuous, and I had to get an attorney. I found an attorney. We had an understanding, you know, I was upfront, like, this is my financial situation.
This is what I can afford.
And yeah, we agreed.
Okay, so if you've just joined us, you're listening to Sidebar Cindy with me. I'm Cindy Siwe Fansale. And this evening, we are on the last installment of our Talking Divorce series. And we're talking about life after divorce. We have clinical psychologist Thabang Tlaka in studio. We also have Nomvula Mbebeza, who's just shared her story. And we're also joined by Ule Mohangwako, who's a divorced father of one. And he'll also be telling us his story. But before I go to Thabang, I just have one more question for you, Nomvula. Obviously, you had mutual friends,
yes,
right, in your marriage. And you know, now that you know you guys are you know, on the way to breaking up, how have the friends been responding?
Okay, so we didn't have actually mutual friends.
Okay.
Yeah, so when I got into a marriage, my focus was more on the family.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was more focused on the family than on friends. So the friends that I have now, it's friends that I developed during the process, you know, just before the divorce.
Okay.
Yes. So, yeah, I was that girl that's always at home with the kids and the husband.
Okay,
yeah.
No, that's understandable. Thabang, yeah. Welcome. And, yeah, I mean, I think she's shared her story so eloquently, and I love the insights that Nomvula has had during this whole experience.
Yes, actually, what you're picking up on, the insights, I just love how her story is integrated. So she starts off, I mean, the way you start off with the divorce and how difficult it was, but you also get to a point where you do some reflections also on yourself. So she talks about how maybe the part that she plays, and not only she divorcing from her partner, but she also cares that the children have the relationships. I just love how she's integrating the painful and I suppose the beautiful parts of her life. So that's somebody who's actually traveled, and that's the thing with divorce, because it's a process. It's not an event. Like, you know, so there are a lot of highs, a lot of lows, a lot of painful moments. And I suppose I enjoyed listening to her, because I can see how she's growing and the support that she has, and how family and friends and how other people can actually also step in and make a difference when somebody's going through a difficult time, because it is quite a difficult time. Some people feel relieved, but I think the majority of the people, is quite a difficult process to go through.
Limuhan, coming to you. So okay. How long were you married?
For 3 years.
Okay, and has your divorce been finalized?
Yes, it was finalized this year in April, of April.
Okay, yeah. And how old is your child?
My son is 3, 10, and 4.
And who's living with your son?
My ex-wife is.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how is the process for you?
Sure. I think the difficult years are 2 years prior and 2 years after. Mm-hmm. The reason I say that is that prior to you having taken that decision is that you try exhaust all the options that are possible in order to try and make that union work, you know. As much as we have been talking about this the whole week and people have shared the story, I don't believe that people went into it with a belief that I'm going into it so that next month or next 2 years I can leave the marriage. Yeah. It was till death do us apart. So hence I'm saying that the 2 years prior are difficult because you are trying to exhaust all the options that are available to you to try and make this work, right? Then you have the years after whereby now you have to deal with the fact that you and this person are not together. And then now you have to now start focusing on your life alone without having to consider the next person. And you can imagine that when you are in that union, there are commitments that you make together. There are those things that you want to accomplish together as a couple. You see your life with this person or with your family and so forth. So the difficulty becomes now when you have to detach yourself from that, you know. So I believe that it's something that I'm still dealing with,
yeah,
considering that obviously it was finalized not so long ago, you know. So I think that is the difficult part of it, having to deal and live your life without that person that you had initially intended to spend the rest of your life with. So I think that's where the challenge is, you know. But then in terms of the complications around the process, I don't think it was that complicated because of the contract that we had chosen at the time.
Okay, so which contract did you guys choose?
Without accrual.
Okay, right? So antenuptial contract without accrual. Okay,
yeah.
All right.
So I think that made it a bit easier because, I mean, it was more peaceful, I guess, in that sense as compared to other stories that I may hear of people and what is it that they go through. So if I had to compare mine to people that I've heard previously talk about their experiences, I wouldn't say that it was dreadful. I think that the difficulty became with having to separate yourself from this picture that you have and the vision that you've had with this person, and now having to deal with things and look at things on your own, by yourself, for yourself. Mm. You know, so I think that's where the challenge was. But then I can tell you now that the space that I'm in right now and where I was last year, Aisham, there's light.
Definitely. And explaining to family, was that difficult?
It is still difficult. You know, I was home this weekend, right? Oh. In my car. And the funny part, well, it's not funny, but the questions that, because some certain people still don't know.
Oh,
right?
I see.
Yeah, so the difficulty is that now having to answer when people ask you, where is your family? Because now they got used to seeing you with your family, you know? That becomes a bit of, okay, at the end of the day, it's not their fish to fry. So do I really need to go into details? But that's it. You know what I mean? But then with that, driving back, and I actually realized that actually, like, now it's gonna be the challenge of having to introduce somebody else and letting these people get to the idea that the person that you know me to be with, unfortunately I'm not with them anymore, and this is the person that I'm with, you know. So I guess that's where the challenge is still gonna lie, but then it does not really bother me because the space that I know I'm at right now,
you're in a better place.
Definitely.
Okay, so if you've just joined us, you're listening to Sidebar Cindy on Kai FM 95.9 with me, Cindy Fancel, and this evening we are on the last installment of the series Talking Divorce, and we have two divorcees in studio with kids who are sharing their stories. You know, Thabang, I wanted to ask, Thabang is a clinical psychologist, I wanted to ask about in-laws. So now that you've, you know, now you're divorced, is that it? That's the end of your relationship with the in-laws? Do you sever all ties? How do you navigate around that?
A very interesting situation. It just depends. It depends on what the relationship was like initially. Because So divorce is a process, and remember, so when people, as Lemohang was saying, you know it's a process. So the 2 years before, so I mean you shared a life with this person, and not just a life but a story, and not just your story, the community story, and everybody knows the story, right? And now it almost demises, and now you have to now think, okay, we are laughing now, but this thing, we have to end this thing, and it's a painful process. And so you go into that, and then it becomes almost official. And then you must deal with the psychological adjustments, the emotional adjustments, the practical and financial adjustments, which then goes into then, so how do you deal with in-laws and things like that? Similar to the question we're dealing with last week, is with the children, but a lot of people struggle with that. I mean, people... I know of people who actually hide in malls. You know, if they go to a mall, and if they see somebody they know, they hide maybe in an aisle
because they don't want to answer questions.
Because they have to deal with that awkward question. So why are you by yourself? Where's everyone else?
Where's your ring?
And things like that. They hide their hands sometimes. Things like that. So it is quite a process. But I think what Lemohang is saying, the idea that when you are well, then it's a bit easier to explain to, because you have to adjust. When you adjust and when you are well, then you can help other people adjust to the new situation that you're in. But if you are not okay, and if you are not well adjusted, or if you haven't resolved that thing, it's difficult for you to do that. And the other thing I wanted to say is, as Lemohang was explaining, I was almost reminded of the grieving process, because it's a mourning. And we say there are usually four tasks that a person goes through when they mourn. So one is to accept what has happened. So to be then accepting the divorce. Two is to accept everything, the emotional aspects that come with that process. And thirdly, it would be where you have to decide to move on. Where you decide, this time I'm going to live my life without this person. And lastly, it would have to do with then what you choose to remember.
Okay.
What you choose to integrate, you know. So, but I mean, I think so. But I suppose in summary, it's when you are a bit more adjusted, it is easier to then help other people adjust to your story. But if you're not adjusted, it's difficult.
And I think, I mean, I like the fact that he says that it's his fish to fry. He doesn't have to answer everybody's questions.
Yeah.
You're allowed not to respond to people's questions.
Yeah. And yeah, so, and it goes both ways. So, I mean, if they don't ask, for someone else, it might be that they don't care. You go back home, and nobody asks, but why are you by yourself? And you might experience it as, these people don't care. Or if you go home and then they ask, who's this person? And then maybe they're being a bit nosy. So it just depends on how you want to respond to it, because you can't control other people. Mm. Other people ask you, other people just leave you alone. It's almost as if you have some disease or something. So I do think if you are good, it's much easier to help other people understand.
Nomvula, you heard what they were saying. You know, what do you have to say about that?
Oh yeah. It's so difficult, you know. But what I can say is if you come out from a divorce, before you even initiate, you have to be emotionally prepared, you know. Be prepared and know that this is going to be dragging, this is going to be taking a toll on you. So you have to be emotionally ready for this, and stick to what you've started. And don't be bitter. Like, I think being bitter is what kills people. Because you hanging on to this, or you angry at the next person who initiated the divorce, or you didn't want to let go. But if it's not healthy, move on.
Then you know, have to move on.
You have to move on and start afresh. It's not easy. It's not. It's like, I haven't been dating since my husband. So yeah. But what keeps me busy for me, it's my kids and loving myself.
That's awesome. Usenzwa on Twitter says, I love Nomvula's accountability. I love it. As people, we're always ready to point fingers on the other party and never ourselves. And I think Utabang alluded to that as well. Yeah. The hashtag on social media is SideboardCindy, and the other hashtag is Kaya FM Talk. Nemohang, I mean, you heard the clip from T-Bod's show.
Yeah, and it actually comes, it brings me to something that I actually wanted to say, right? or rather, hopefully, that we can be able to discuss it at a later stage as well. That when it comes to marriage, like yourself, you put yourself to the side to focus on this union in order to make it work. And what the gentleman was saying on the clip on T-Boss's show was that you sacrifice so much of sometimes it's not just of the things that you like, but also of yourself, and without realizing it. And I think that's where I saw myself as well. I was like, you know what, actually, I feel like I've lost who I am, and who I am is actually not a bad person, but I've tried so hard into making another person wholly happy and forgetting that actually that is not my responsibility. You know what I mean? So I think that was tricky, but then as the gentleman was saying, that even when you have 100 rand, instead of sharing, I think and let's not make money the example, rather if you have something, or rather there's something that you're passionate about or something that is that you want to do, before you can be able to do it, if you are in a relationship, it has to be discussed with the wife first. It's just like if you're discussing business, a person says, I need to talk to my wife or my partner first. However, whenever it is that you are alone, whatever decision that you make, you must know that it impacts you. It comes back to you. It does not affect the other party as well. Because also it goes back to the type of contract that you're in. If you perhaps you like something, it costs more money, it could put you and I into trouble depending on the contract that we are in. So even with that, like the decisions that you make after, when you're making them for yourself, and you, it's more about fulfilling your purpose more than actually trying to make so hard to make this union work.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay, so we're taking calls on 086-000-0959. We have Uthandeka on the line, and she's calling us from Johannesburg. Good evening, Uthandeka, and welcome to Sidebar, Cindy.
Hi, Cindy.
How are you?
I'm well, and yourself?
Good, thanks.
Yes. Oh, I just wanted to make a comment from a perspective of divorcees who didn't have any children within the marriage, because I'm one of those. But also to just say that it's still as hard divorcing as a single person without any children. The struggle is real. I think for me, it was the fear of being alone, not knowing what am I going to do by myself without this man. But I realized in the process that it is possible, you can live. It's hard paying the bills by yourself in the beginning, but you adjust to such circumstances.
In terms of adjusting, do you feel that people need to explain themselves to people, or you just carry on with your life and you make the changes that need to be made?
You don't have to explain yourself, because in the beginning it's hard, because you don't know what to say to people, and you're even scared to show yourself to people. So for me, it's until you're ready to talk about it and explain yourself, then you can do that. But don't feel under pressure to explain yourself to people. Just carry on with your life. You have family and friends that support you, because that's what I had, and they were my pillars throughout my separation and my divorce. And without them, I know that it would have been difficult. So they knew what was happening, but other random strangers, people I didn't really know at work or from wherever else, you don't need to explain yourself.
And would you consider getting married again?
Definitely. I'm still a believer in love, so I will get married one day. It's better now, because I know what I want and I know what I don't want. So it's easy to spot out what's not going to work and what has potential to work.
Okay, well, that sounds awesome. I'm very happy for you, Uthandeka.
Thank you, Cindy.
Okay, thank you so much for calling.
All right, then.
Okay.
Bye.
Thabang Dlaka is our clinical psychologist who's been on the series with us. You know, Uthandeka still believes in love. She still, you know, she still believes she can get married again. You know, what do you think of that?
Yeah, statistically, most people who divorce remarry, actually. Because when people divorce, generally the idea is not that marriage was bad. It's more that the person I was with was bad. So I just, there are things you learn if you reflect on it. So most people actually divorce, remarry statistically. The other thing I wanted to say is, you know, because you can't understand divorce without understanding marriage. And part of what was touched on was the idea of losing yourself, trying to build a union. And my view is that, you know, when two people come together, they should actually grow together. You should actually become more of yourself. And I think that the risk is if the foundations are shaky. So this idea that you're going to go into this union and then you disappear, it's not going to work. A marriage is where you have two full human beings, well adjusted, who bring something. But now if it's a situation where one is losing themselves, or you feel that the marriage is not facilitating your growth and your development, that you're not better because there's two of you, then there's something not right there. So it's something that we have to look at. And the other thing that was discussed, so this idea of do you tell people, don't tell people, if we look beneath it, there's actually the idea also of shame, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's this shame that people struggle with, because you a little bit of guilt, a little bit of shame, because remember when you also get married, you call all these people, they hire out suits, they come,
they bring,
you have
presents.
This big function, do you know, and now some of them still have loans to come and now this thing hasn't worked, right? And then they're also surprised because they have a vested interest in the union,
yeah.
Because people care. Like if we all of a sudden heard that Barack is divorcing from
Michelle, yeah.
It'll affect us. And you see, so what I'm trying to say is, so part of what we should think about is people will ask. So I just, people will ask, but you don't have to explain everything to them. But I think we have to understand that it's also a little bit unfair for these people who took time to help you get married, sing songs, and do all these things, and then when you were they were excited for you, and when it didn't work, then we don't want them to know. So they will ask, but then you just know that you have your story, you know what to tell them or not to tell them, but they shouldn't offend you if they do ask.
Yeah. Okay, so we're taking calls on Sidebar Cindy on 086-00-00959. We have Fraser calling us from Johannesburg. Good evening, Fraser, and welcome to the show.
How are you, Cindy?
Good, thank you.
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, I've been a divorcee since 2017, March. I think it's 2.5 years now. Yeah, but it was not a good roller coaster because my ex-wife had to, like, bring in people before I became aware of what was going to happen. And then suddenly there were divorce papers around, lying around here, and told that I'm going to divorce. So obviously, divorce is a first-time experience whereby you don't know what to do and whatever. So I then visited my company, the lawyers there, and then they then said only what you have to do is a settlement letter and whatever, and agree on things that you want to take and stuff. You know, during that time, my mom didn't want to speak to me, my sisters, my cousins from both sides, from my father's and my mother's, because obviously when you marry, it's that integration of somebody from externally into your family and then getting into your family. And then she got used to all of them, of which when things started, she went to all of them to say, I'm going to do 1, 2, 3, 4, this is what is happening in my marriage and whatever. Okay? And then soon everybody was not speaking to me, and some of them even today, they don't speak to me because I'm one person. If I'm going through something, if you want to know, you can come to me, but I'm not the one who's going to go out there and explain myself why I did it.
Yeah.
The third part of it is like I'm staying with my two kids who wanted to stay with me.
Okay.
Yeah, and then the third part of it is when you speak to somebody to say, because obviously a family advocate indicated to me to ask clearly to say, there should be an open line of communication between the two parents regarding the kids. So the problem that we're sitting is we have a teenager in between who's 18 years old.
Yeah.
That can manipulate the situation. Okay. I'm currently seeing, I have a partner,
yes,
of which we have a child together. And then I didn't feel that my kid needs to know the other siblings from the other relationship. So, but what is happening in there is like whatever thing that happens in that house where my partner is staying, my kids will manipulate things and then go and tell the mother, and then once the mother is happening there, will come back and tell my partner and whatever. So
yeah, so that's difficult.
It creates a whole lot of, not confusion, in fact, a conflict between my current partner to say, are you doing these things? I heard that you're doing 1, 2, 3, 4 and mother. You know, my divorce was not an easy one. It was a very messy one. I understand, and in terms of, like, even now, as I'm saying, I don't talk to some of my cousins. And then other people, like, from the family, they just take things from other people to say, this is what we heard, this is what we have seen his wife doing or he's doing and whatever. So they don't have that guard to come and
you know, ask.
To come and ask me, my friend, what the, even, you know, obviously, even if her integration, we had mutual friends.
Yeah.
I had issues with my friends as well to say, they don't ask me anything. Up until they hear the real story, now then some of them are coming to apologize to say, we judged you based on 1, 2, 3, 4, and then now we hear a story. I think now, they think now the stories are now balancing.
Mm.
But you know what I believe in? There's life after divorce.
Yeah.
You understand? Mm. People out there love you. You understand?
Mm.
The only thing that you did, you only made a choice about that person.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you never had people that you can, you know, ask out or date or whatever. The only thing that was there is you love that person, you saw future in this particular person. But now, at the end of the day, what you've seen by then is not what you see now.
Yeah.
So, I still think that this life after divorce, you can be happy and whatever, but the only thing that I usually told my daughter, the 18-year-old one, is to say, focus on your education,
yeah.
I'll support you, and then don't find yourself in this situation whereby you are the one who is orchestrating, you know, my demise, because obviously he's doing that to me. I even told him that in millionaires or shiny years, stone years, or snowy year, I'll never get back to your mother. That it should be something that you know. You have to get used to it.
Yeah.
Because I even arranged counseling for her. She didn't want to go. She said she's fine. But obviously, you can see that she's not fine. She just she's having that thing to say, one day, my father will say, no, my mom is coming home, or whatever thing.
Yeah, okay. Because, I'll ask, can I just ask Thabang to respond to a few of the things that you've mentioned, Fraser?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Thabang?
Yeah, I mean, no, but thank you for Fraser to sharing
for
that
sharing,
story. So the point he's making about his daughter, I think we touched on that last week, how children have this idea, this permanence idea that they always want the two people who made them to live together.
Mm.
And if that's not negotiated properly, then they might struggle to adjust properly. So things like how what you told the children as you were separating when you got divorced, they help the children then adjust better. And also how you introduce new people after the divorce, that is also important. So if that's not negotiated properly, then sometimes you might get to have issues. And of course, also, I mean, rumors, the idea of rumors, sometimes you can't control you can't control what people think about you. What you can do is do what is right by you, do the proper thing, and then people will then get the story. Those who have the energy to come and ask you, then you can respond, but other people will just make up their minds. So one shouldn't be too concerned about that. Is to really ensure that you are okay. And I think if you are okay, then you can deal with whatever things that come. But there's also so the bitterness, as Nomvula has mentioned, there's the anger. Remember, there is some of the other stuff besides the practical stuff, but there's because divorce can do quite a number on you, it disrupts your idea of orderliness.
Mm-hmm.
And so figuring that out, sometimes you love this person, like what Fraser said, so the papers came. So it's like,
and he wasn't expecting.
And you wasn't. So now that usually it makes it very difficult to adjust. It's different if you were talking about it. But if somebody just tells you, here are the papers, it's over, or we are divorced. Because then your mind must still adjust to that, and you must still walk that journey. Yeah.
Okay, well, Fraser, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. And this evening, we are on the last installment of the series, our Talking Divorce series, which has been running throughout July on every Wednesday. And we're talking life after divorce. We have Olemukhang Ngwako, a divorcee, father of one, and we also have Unomvula Bebeza in studio, a divorcee and mother of two. And we're also joined by clinical psychologist Thabang Tlaka. We're taking calls on 086-000-959. You can SMS us on 36959. And you can also share your stories and input on social media under the hashtags SideboardCindy and Kaya FM Talk. We have Uvuyani on the line, and he's calling us from Johannesburg. Good evening, Uvuyani, and thank you for holding.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Very well, thanks. You know, like, I've been listening to the topic, but most of the points mentioned here is that guys think of what friends think of them before putting God first. So, like, what I'm saying is, why don't we think of, because now in a union, like, what do we say? It's a union between you, your partner, and God. So, like, why do we have to think of what people think before thinking of what God says or what God thinks of us? Because this union is not a friends union. Okay, like, we think friends are supporting us sometimes in some situations, but friends are not happy about what we do. About 99% of the time, people don't care about our happiness. So what I'm just trying to point out here is, like, we can't be putting what families can think about us or what friends can think. Because now, even families, when you get married, no one becomes happy. It's only 1% if you are lucky. They become happy
on your
marriage. That's my point.
Okay, no, thanks, Vianney. I'll ask our clinical psychologist, Thabang Tlaka, to respond to that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think the idea that, you know, so he's talking about, you know, when we think about other people, when you think about other people, what do other people say? And it's a big thing. It's a big thing. People consider, what will my family say? What will my friends say? What does this picture look like? So it's a difficult thing for people, and he's proposing that suppose people think about what does God think about it? And so it goes back to what I'm saying. I think if you are okay, it's easy to talk to other people, but if you can't be okay, then it's very difficult to handle people, to survive the conversations. Then you have to hide and struggle. I don't know what you guys think.
If I can chip in there, Doc, I think the other thing that going back to what Vuyani has said, right, is that we also need to understand that not everybody is Christian, right?
Yeah.
And then as well as your relationship with God, your relationship, Thabang, that you have with God and the relationship that I have with God is not the same.
Yeah.
And then even within Christianity itself, you cannot say that you have been fully consistent. Are you with me? Mm. So not everybody is fully consistent with that. Yes, it is a union between yourself and God. But then we need to understand that even with the challenges that we are thrown within that marriage, sometimes it's those type of challenges that can actually detach you a bit from God, or rather building and nurturing that relationship that you have with God. You know what I mean? So it's easier to say right now, because faith also plays a role. You know what I mean? So it's easier to say. I can't say that it's easier, but then it's easier for us to say and talk about that relationship with God, because at the end of the day, by the time we got married or wherever it is that we decided to get married, chances are it was either done through a pastor, it was done through a church and so forth. But the unfortunate part is that do we keep that relationship, or do we keep that do we keep that Christianity level as well? Because if you think about it, that union is blessed with in a church, right? It's a pastor who marries you. That means it's a Christian, it's a Christian belief to do that. But then thereafter, do we fully live the Christian ways? Okay. I think that's something we need to think about.
Okay, so we're taking calls on 086-000-959. We're talking divorce, and we're speaking about life after divorce. We have Uneli Siwe on the line. Good evening, Uneli Siwe, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Dr. Cindy. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I'm well, thank you. Look, I've never been married a day in my life, but I think I've been around enough married people or enough divorced people to form my opinion.
Okay.
I think at some point with divorced people or people that are going to go through a divorce, before and after, it stops being about us as growing individuals and myself as a growing individual. I don't know if I'm making sense.
Mm-hmm.
So husband is growing as a person. So am I growing as a person.
Okay.
And I think with a lot of people, I've heard a lot of, he stopped understanding who I am, right? But also you stopped allowing a room for you to understand who he is, and in turn, for you guys to understand each other. I don't know if I'm making sense.
No, we hear you.
So I think in life after divorce, I've seen a lot of people really struggle with the part where they did not allow for an opportunity for their partner to grow into or out of who they were when they met or during the marriage.
Okay. Well, thanks for that insight. Yeah. I'll ask Unomvula to comment, and I'll also ask Limuhang to say something. Thank you so much for that call, Nelisiwe.
Thank you.
Okay. Unomvula, what do you think of what Nelisiwe has just said?
So, Mina, what I think is healing is important. So you find omunye umuntu just jump to another relationship without being fully healed. So you need to heal. You need to take time. Deal about yourself first, you know, get to a point whereby you're happy with yourself, you're happy with your own space, and then acknowledge your mistakes, because we all make mistakes. Check what made your marriage to fail, and then try to see, okay, what did I do wrong? Yeah. You know, was I a submissive wife? Was I there for my husband? Was I doing my duties as a wife, you know? And then check, okay, what could I have done wrong? If you have a good relationship with your ex, then you ask him, okay, his opinion. What makes you think that this our marriage failed? You know, you start from there, and you build yourself. You don't jump, don't rush, you know? Work on yourself, work within yourself till you find, and then you pray. Okay, not everyone is Christian, but then you some of the things you pray for them,
and that helped you a lot.
Yes, for me it did help me, because it gave me peace, you know. I'm at peace, and I'm so happy what God is doing in my life, you know. I'm flourishing because of God, not because of I know or because of he has no. It's not that, but then it's through prayer, and it's through having a support system. You know, put God first. You know,
Tabang.
Yes, I wanted to say, so what she brought up, I think the other thing very important to mention, you know, when you also started, sometimes people, you're going through a hard time, you haven't healed yourself, then you go into a relationship. It's when you find situations when you wake up and you're crying next to someone else, and somebody's confused. Why are you crying? And why are you busy talking about your ex? What's going on? And part of it has to do with things like you haven't healed, and you just rushed into a relationship. And it's a situation where you find people are divorcing twice, thrice. Because the work of healing wasn't done. The work of integrating what was right about this, what was not so right about this, what do I want to take? What is my part in it? Am I healed? So life after divorce becomes good when you're able to integrate that experience. You take the beautiful parts and the difficult parts and you make that story. If you don't do that, then you carry some of the wounds into the new relationship. Then you repeat the patterns that got you there in the first place. So I said in the beginning when I was listening to Nomvula, I just loved how she sounds like an integrated person, a person who reflected on, okay, what the other party did, what did I do, and how do I then integrate, how do I move on, how do I bring in the kids. So that work has to be done. If you don't do that, you run the risk of sabotaging the next relationship, because you'll be comparing your new partner to your ex and things like that.
And Nimukang?
You know when they say hurt people? Yeah, so so I think that's where it comes from. It really has to come from you. I think the most important thing is that before is it that you can be able to leave a relationship, there also needs to be that exit plan as well, you know. And I think that's where the psychological part and the emotional part of it also comes in, whereby you need to deal with yourself first, and as well as what is it that you're going through, and also prepare yourself You cannot fully prepare for the situation, considering that you also don't know what lies ahead, right? But then also be able to put yourself in a situation whereby whatever it is that may be thrown at you, you can also be able to stand for yourself. Then thereafter, once it is that you are then out of that relationship, I think also it you need to give yourself time, you know, because emotionally you were still attached to the next person.
Yeah.
As well as I had mentioned earlier, is that you had also planned your life with this person. So it is very important that also yourself as well allow yourself time to get rid of that person within you. You know what I mean? So I think that is important phase that we also need to go through. Hence it is that I mentioned the 2 years prior and the 2 years after.
Yeah.
Because you need to have time to yourself as well. You know, because once you jump from that and into that, and it will become confusing, because now you'll be trying to live your dreams through somebody else,
yeah.
You know, and that's going to hurt them at the end of the day.
Okay, yeah. Well, we have 5 minutes left of the show. Coming up at 8 o'clock will be Ukaya Stole. He's standing in for Michael Mudoning Bill on the Law Report, but the show starts at 8. So, in closing, okay, I'll end off with Thabang, but I'll start off with you two. Just, do you guys believe in marriage? Do you still believe in marriage?
Absolutely, man. No, absolutely. But I think that because when you are in marriage, right, you learn so much about yourself. There's a lot that if you are the same person that you were even before you got married, then maybe you need to check yourself, because as a person, you need to continuously be growing.
Okay.
You need to also be evolving. So I think that part is where the tricky part comes in, because by the time you met me, I had certain beliefs. I was in a certain way.
Yeah.
Right. As time goes on, I'm growing. You're also growing. You're not the same person that you were. I'm not the same person that I was. My perspective on things is also changing, you know. So I think that the most important thing is that be true to yourself. You need to be very, very true to yourself. This is throughout the course of marriage, you know, because once it is that you start losing yourself, or you start over compromising as well, you end up losing yourself, and you might end up in that divorce again, because to the next person is that you have changed, because now you got them used to this
and now
you're showing them something else. So I think it's also allow yourself to grow and understand that people have to grow. We cannot be able to stay in one place. And if there's one thing that we look for in relationship in today's times, when you talk relationships, is that does this person, will they contribute something in my life? Doesn't have to be monetary contribution, but will they put me in a different place, whether it's mentally, psychologically, emotionally, will they put me in a different place than where I was when
before
I met them?
Okay, yeah. Thank you so much for that. And Nomvula?
Yes,
just
I do.
Really quickly, yeah.
Yeah, I do believe in love. I still think it's beautiful. Love is beautiful. Marriage is beautiful, as long as the two of you, you know, you grow into this together. Communication is key. If you both know what you're in this for, then it will work.
Awesome.
I mean, yeah, who doesn't want to be loved?
Well, thank you so much for sharing your stories with us. And Thabang will close off for us. And just to let you know, Thabang also is also an author, and he's written a book. So we'll be gifting, you know, both of you with that book. We'll send
Yay.
It to you.
Thank you, man.
You know, because you came onto the show, you shared your story so eloquently. Thabang, quickly, closing statements about the last in our series, on Talking Divorce series.
Marriage is a beautiful thing. When we go into it, it's best to be authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're going through a divorce, if you are divorced, you will survive this thing. And so learn, people are stronger than they think.
Yeah.
And if we learn, then we are able to just then go from strength to strength.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for joining our conversation.
Sidebar with Cindy.
Every Monday to Thursday, 7 to 8 p.m. on Kaya FM 95.9.
Rewinding Kaya FM on FM Rewind. Visit kayafm.co.za for more.